This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
It's now time for Connecting Caregivers with author, speaker, caregiver advocate, and talk show host, Linda Burhans, the gal who cares for caregivers.
Caregivers around the world today, it's time to lift you up. It's time to celebrate. Good afternoon and welcome to Connecting Caregivers with me, Linda Burhans, the gal who cares for the caregivers with love, laughter, and lessons learned. On the show where you can find help and hope and maybe some laughs.
Hopefully.
And with me, as always, is my best friend, my co-host, and my sidekick, not psychic, Lynn Thornley.
Good afternoon. Thank you for inviting me.
You know, when the show first started, I used to say she was my sidekick, and people thought I was saying she was my psychic. Like,
oh,
I was bringing
my psychic
on the show with me.
Personal psychic. I love
that. And we're talking to my friend, attorney Sean Scott, today. Welcome, Sean.
I'm so glad to be here with you.
Glad you're here. So it was a good week this week. A lot going on with the conference. We launched the Connecting Caregivers Conference.
Yes, register.
Website for the conference May 3rd, 4th, and 5th. And as of this morning, we had 105 registrants.
Already, very good.
Yeah, it's on fire. The good thing about it is, even if you cannot come the entire time, you can just pop in and out whenever you want. And if you register for the conference, about a week later after the conference, you'll be privy to a recording of all the conference sessions. So you'll get 21 separate sessions. It won't be like you have to watch the whole thing if you want to just see what you want to watch.
Cool.
So please do that. Please register at ConnectingCaregiversConference.com and tell your friends about it, and we'll talk more about that a little bit later. But right now I want to give a shout out to our newest listeners. We have Jeff in Jupiter. We have Shannon in St. Pete and Bibi in New York City.
Well, welcome.
So welcome to our new listeners. Like I say, there's always plenty of room around the Connecting Caregivers table for more listeners. Whether you listen to us live on AM/FM or YouTube or Facebook or whatever you listen to your stuff. We try to get out there as much as we can. So, So I'm really happy that you're here today. So, Sean, if anybody has a question for Sean, please feel free to call in at 727-441-3000. Because, you know, you're always having a question for an attorney. And you can call in and it's like free advice. But sometimes I think you just may have that question. Please call in because other people maybe have that same question.
Right.
But they're like, I don't know if I want to call in.
Well, you know, I'm here and I'm available. And if you have a question regarding aging and the law, Medicaid, how do you pay for the cost of care in a nursing home or an assisted living facility? Or you want to talk about, you know, what's a power of attorney do for you and why that's so important? Do you need one? Or even some estate planning things like wills or trusts? Hit me up. I'm here.
Well, I'll tell you, one of our listeners asked a question and said, what is the difference between a medical power of attorney and a durable power of attorney?
And that's a really good question. In Florida, we don't really call it a medical power of attorney. In some states they do. California, for example, they have a durable power of attorney, which is primarily focusing on the financial world and kind of those aspects of your life.
Okay.
And then you have the medical power of attorney, which is the one for your medical stuff.
Pulling doctors, the plug.
Well, not exactly. Doctors and hospitals and that sort of thing. So the way I tell it to my clients, we call it a healthcare surrogate designation, by the way, in Florida.
It's same it gets confusing. And, you know, we're a national
different terms
show,
can,
so
can
people
throw,
are like,
absolutely. So when I actually drafted my original healthcare surrogate designation 31 years ago, we did a model. We used a model like California does, because I really like this medical power of attorney situation. So when I describe it to my clients, I tell them, well, you got this piece of paper that's going to allow your person to talk to your bank and make all these kinds of decisions.
Right.
And then you have this one that allows them to talk to your doctor and make medical decisions. And they're kind of two different worlds.
So you have both?
Yeah. And
can you be both, I mean?
Oh, yeah. You can be both. It's just I do it in two different documents instead of one.
Okay.
So because there's medical stuff that's appropriate for that document that your doctor and hospital needs to see. But your banker doesn't need to
see
that.
So it's two documents you need.
Two documents. Now, when you talk about the pull-the-plug thing, that's a living will.
Does that come under living will?
Right. And I always never really liked that terminology, living will, necessarily. I think it's confusing because there's a living trust
like
that's out there.
Like end-of-life will or something.
Well, advanced directive is a better term.
Directive.
And that's kind of the technical term for it. Super important that you have that. And the way I do it in my office is I combine the medical power of attorney, a designation of a healthcare surrogate, and the living will all into one document, because it's all kind of appropriate and that kind of thing.
Yeah.
So.
And you have to know how to do that meld, though.
Well, yeah, absolutely. And now some people will break it out into three or four different separate documents. That's just, I think that's more complicated for the client. They have more things to take care of and track down. And, well, I don't know where this is or that way.
Yeah.
So I merge them all into one document.
Yeah, the easier, the better.
Yep.
All right, so you may not want to have the same person.
Oh, no, you can have different people.
Both of those designations. Yeah. So, for instance, Lynn is my healthcare surrogate. My living will person, whatever.
Right, right.
So, you know, she'll pull my plug
when I need to pull.
You know what? My sisters, my daughter, they would have me plugged in for like 20 years.
No, I understand.
Like she might, oh, mom, she just blinked or something.
Correct.
And you're mine.
Yeah. And I think you have to think about that, because many times people think it has to be my immediate family. No, it has to be the person that's going to...
Somebody that you trust and understands what you want.
Well, exactly. I think your family understands what you want. They're just not going to do it.
Well, you know, again,
every
case is a little different. You know, I look at my family and, well, I would, you know, I have a son and a daughter, and let's say my son would be really good to do the financial side of things, and he's really good at that.
He has a good head
on his shoulders for that. But my daughter is a registered nurse, and she's really in tune with my kind of psychology and emotional state. And so I'll make him my power of attorney to do the financial stuff, and then I choose her to be my healthcare surrogate because they're suited for that role.
Exactly. Yeah.
But it doesn't even have to be a family member.
It doesn't have to be
a family member. It can be your best friend.
Absolutely.
But the whole thing is having the conversation.
I think it's important. Yep. You know, in my world, I have a healthcare surrogate designation also, which, I mean, obviously everybody should.
Right.
And about 6 or so years ago, I had a really bad accident. I don't know if we've talked about this before. But I got run over by a truck walking across the street in downtown St. Petersburg.
And who would think that you would need anything, right?
Yeah.
And you're the king of this.
It was a Saturday morning. I'm just out with my friends, and, you know, I step off the curb, and bang, the plumbing truck runs me over, hits me in one intersection, and I end up another block away. It was bad, 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 to the point of coma, brain bleed, near-death experience, neurosurgeon has to talk to somebody to say, well, do we go or no go?
Right.
And you need somebody to be, talk to them. I'm out of, I'm
yeah,
off.
You're done.
I'm done, I'm out.
You know?
So my brother at the time was my healthcare surrogate designated person, and he had to make that decision, go or no go.
Tough, eh?
Well, it is, because the surgeon goes to him, it's like, listen, Sean's in a really bad way. I don't know how bad this brain bleed is. I don't know what we're going to get back if I go in and do this. Do you want me to do this? We don't know. There's uncertainty here. What should I do, the doctor says.
And oh, my God.
The healthcare surrogate, my brother, I think, made the right decision.
I think so, too.
I think.
So. And sometimes when it comes to a decision like that, it's just your heart and what you know the other person would want. And I would be like, damn, if you, like, take the chance, like, we're going to do this, you know?
It's a very serious thing. And I've had to do this for other people in my life, and where I've acted in that role of being a healthcare surrogate. And the doctor says, well, what do you want me to do? Should we do a DNR? Should we, you know, not take any more action at this point in time? Well, should I continue the medication for this person or not? And that has a huge responsibility. And so it's from the heart, and it's also from the brain, and you're trying to merge that together and making literal life and death decisions about this person.
Yeah.
It's a big deal.
You do the DNRs?
I don't do a DNR.
The hospital usually does, right?
Let's talk about that for a second. So DNR stands for Do Not Resuscitate.
And everybody's like, bad. It's like the hospice word.
No,
bad.
It's not a bad thing, but it's also not a thing that everybody should do. So DNR is actually, it's actually DNRO, Do Not Resuscitate Order. And it's actually a physician's order.
Okay. Yeah.
So the doctor has to sign that, and the healthcare surrogate person signs it, or the individual if they're competent signs it. It's an actual order. And that is full stop, don't do anything, don't touch them, don't take any action.
All right.
So I had a case where a DNR is interesting. Reason why I'm a little hesitant on it sometime. Gentleman had Alzheimer's disease in an assisted living facility, and the family members were taking care of them, and they put a DNR in place. And he had some breathing issues, and the assisted living facility called the EMTs. And so the ambulance comes, picks this guy up, and they take him to the emergency room. And of course, they call the family, and the daughter gets in her car, and she rushes down there as fast as she possibly can.
Of course.
She blows into the emergency room. Where's my dad? Blah, 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 blah. And he's in room 4 or whatever. And she goes into room 4, and there's this guy sitting there in the bed. They're not doing anything for him. And so she gets all freaked out. She says, well, why aren't you doing something for my dad? And they go, look, DNR. So that was kind of an interesting thing. Well, you see what I'm saying?
Like, what if I was choking on a damn chicken bone or something?
That's what I'm telling you. Do not resuscitate me. Don't touch me.
Okay. Yeah, so you really don't want to sign that till the very end.
And I think it's in context, yeah, it makes sense. If you have a fully metastasized cancer, you have end-stage dementia, right, something along these lines, man, if I get lucky enough to have a heart attack, don't touch me.
Exactly.
I'm out, man. Let me go.
Yeah.
But my husband had a DNR, but I got nervous when the ambulance came, and the medic said, we will bring him back. At the hospital, not, but we will.
Right, right. So,
you know, they don't go by the DNR.
But the hospital did.
I'm telling you,
and it was kind of shocking. So the way I always talk with my clients is that I don't think this is appropriate for everybody to have this piece of paper.
Right.
It's not a logical progression in things. And when we're in the conference room, they say, well, should I have a DNR? I'm like, and I go and I explain the same thing, and I tell them this. Listen, if I fall down and I have a heart attack right now in the conference room, I want you jumping up and down on my chest.
Yeah.
Because I'm not done.
Right.
Right? I'm not ready. Right. I'm not done. But if you change the facts, maybe don't touch me because...
Exactly. I'm done.
I'm done. Okay.
I'm done.
So it's very factually...
It's a tough one. I'm done. Thank you, God, I'm having this heart attack.
So I feel very strongly that it's not a normal progression that you should always have. Almost never should you have it, actually. So.
Well, my husband got very nervous because he's signing it, and don't you bring me back if I can't do this. And then he was joking, and he's going, I don't know. Help, help.
Can I change my mind? And you can change your mind, by the way. You can.
Not in the moment, though.
Well,
not if you can't talk.
Well, there is that, yes. So.
Yeah, and he was like, they were going to let me go. And I went, well, here you are.
But I still think the most important thing is the conversation.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And it's a tough one to have. I mean,
yeah.
Ideally we should have it, but at the same time, I'd rather not have the conversation and have the document in place than not have the document.
Well, I always tell somebody, if it's hard to have the conversation, just make up a story, say, oh, you know what happened to my friend's mother?
Oh my gosh, I love that.
They didn't have any documents in
right,
order.
Right, right.
And oh my God.
Yeah, yeah.
And then, oh, well, maybe their ears perk up a little bit because it doesn't really deal with them.
Yep, yep, a nice side.
And then maybe you lead into that conversation.
Yeah, that's a great suggestion.
Sometimes
really
you just have to trick them.
Gotta be a little
I'm good
clever.
At tricking. I have a friend who's 98 years old, and so our family thinks maybe it's time for her to go into community.
Right.
And they find a fabulous place
right,
for her.
Right, right.
But nobody wants to talk to her about it.
Right.
Or say anything to her.
Yeah, it's a big decision.
But I'm her friend.
Right,
so I
right.
call her up and I go, Mama.
This is what we're doing.
Can you help me with something?
All right.
She's like, sure, Linda. I said, I have a friend of mine that's looking for a place for her
mom.
You
are so sneaky.
So I thought maybe, could you come there with me and see if you like it, if you like the food or whatever?
Right.
And we go there, and by the time we left, she's like, I love it here. Your friend's going to love it here. I would even live here. I'm like,
how about that?
And her decision.
That's
right?
Great.
Her decision.
Yeah.
I'm never going to believe
you
again.
So I do have
again.
A friend who was looking for a place and does happen to be her son.
So next time she takes you out to lunch at this place.
I'm
not really sure you should go.
No. I don't believe her anymore.
Sneaky.
But sometimes you just got to, because you know what? I want to make my own decisions. I want to always feel like I'm making my
own
decisions.
Of course, of course. I mean, that's we're entitled to do that. And that's what being, you know, a person and an individual is. I believe, strongly believe in that. It can get a little tricky, though, when we're dealing with dementia.
Yeah.
You know, you start going down that trail, and at what point in time is that person not able to make their decisions any longer?
Right.
And it's not a black and white thing. It's kind of shades of gray.
Right.
So. Yeah.
And if you've never had that conversation even with your spouse.
Right. Oh, yeah.
And now they have dementia, whatever. Well, we never talked about this. I'm not really sure.
I think for your perspective, you know, the person that's serving in that role, having had that conversation, makes everything a lot easier when you actually have to talk to the doctor and say go or no go.
Yeah.
And that is, because otherwise you're just kind of guessing. And you're reading this piece of paper and it says, okay, this is what I'm supposed to do.
I'll do it, but no.
But now you're actually faced with it. And if you don't have that psychological kind of emotional backup as far as having had the conversation, oh man, it's a lot worse.
So, I still think it's horrible, but you have to do it.
Yeah, absolutely.
I wouldn't want to just be lying there and...
Well, you know what is the thing too? We're living so much longer than we did before.
Correct.
Yeah. You know, when I was a kid, you know, Grandpa died at 65. Like in the day, it was they retired and died.
Right.
You know, like 3 months.
Retired
later.
On Monday, died.
Yeah.
On
oh,
Friday.
You only got one check. Right. I can remember that conversation a lot.
Sure.
You know, kind of thing. But now we have to live work forever because we can't retire. But you know what I'm saying? You know, living so much longer. We need to have these conversations now because we didn't have to have these conversations before.
Oh, no. I mean, again, medical science, so to speak, has done some really good things for us. And maybe
not so
good because, right. You know, I have good news. You're going to live to 100, and 20 of those years, you're going to be demented.
Right.
Great.
Or drooling.
Yeah, well, yeah. I mean, that's just using that as a...
That's the one that just gets me. You know, I don't want to do that.
No
my
drooling.
My mother was afraid of that, and she used to say, it'll be terrible if that happened to me. I said, actually, it won't be terrible for you. It'll
you
be terrible
know,
for
right.
us.
Correct. Yes.
Right.
Yeah.
But she was the lady, and she always was in control.
Yeah, I understand.
But, you know, the still thing is the same thing, too, though. We don't know everything that they... Like, how aware they are. I mean, I know they're aware.
Right.
I know they're aware because you can have a person with dementia that hasn't spoken in months. And the right song comes on, or the one
I've seen it happen many times.
And they're there.
Yep.
You know, I had a friend of mine, Carol Ware McKenzie, mm-hmm. and she used to do a program at a memory care community. And they would go in, and they would have the parachute, you know, and all the fun stuff. And they would bring this one woman in all the time, and she didn't speak. She barely opened her eyes, but they always brought her. And they found out after a little while that this woman liked horses.
Really?
So every time they went, they brought her a horse, whether it was a stuffed animal,
right.
So she could hold the horse. And she would just hold that horse with her eyes closed. It must have been like 2 or 3 months this is going on. And one day, people start having a conversation, and they start talking about horses, and she raised her horse.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
So cool. Yeah. We don't know.
We don't. And I've had these experiences. We used to have poodles that we took to dementia facilities, to assisted living facilities.
Really?
Therapy poodles, basically. And we did these big standard poodles, and I would bring them in, and they would bring them in the room, and we'd walk them around. And it was you know, they would do their little tricks, things, and they would talk and things. It was just a good environment. And there was this one lady that hadn't spoken for years, hadn't said anything. She's been, you know, almost like some sort of aphasia, basically.
Right.
And I had my poodle next to her, and I was sitting down, and she reaches her hand over, and she starts, you know, running her hand through the top of his head, where his fur is and everything, and she just looks up, and she goes, soft. The staff were like, what?
Yeah.
What did she say?
Yeah.
She just said something? It still brings tears to my eyes.
Yeah,
when I think
it does.
About it
just
amazing.
Gets, you know,
absolutely amazing.
It's so important because, you know, and I say that's a lot, so many times, like, this is what I hear. Oh, mom's not talking anymore. Well, you didn't talk to her. You're not talking to her.
Right.
You need to talk to her.
Right.
You know, just guide her. Just do that, you know. And caregivers will be like, oh, my mom's never listening to me. I said, when you sit down and talk to her, do you sit down and look into her eyes and talk to her? Oh, no, I'm washing the dishes.
Need a little bit more connection, especially with the dementia side of things, for sure, yeah.
And isn't that what we're here for as a caregiver?
Yep.
Whether we're a spouse, a child, or whatever. You're like, oh, I'm doing this really good job. I'm doing this really good job. It's kind of like the mom where the kitchen floor is clean and all the toys are put away, but I didn't spend no time with my kids.
No, I understand. I agree.
You know, it's kind of the same thing. I'm like, just take that time. First of all, I want you to take the time before anybody is at that stage. My granddaughter said to me a couple of weeks ago, you know, my husband and I have been talking, Grandma, and you can't stay living where you live. And I'm like, what? Yeah, and she goes, well, you have an upstairs and downstairs.
Right.
So I said, I bought that place with an upstairs and downstairs because that's what's going to keep me alive.
Sure.
That's what's going to keep me. I said, when that time comes, I can't do that. You're going to give me one of them scooter chairs that goes up and down the stairs.
Right.
Well, it was very kind that they're thinking about my future.
Right, right.
But it's good, kind of cool we had the conversation.
It's a little too soon.
Is it? She's my granddaughter. She has the caregiver stuff 24/7.
Right, you know, exactly.
It's like, my grandson's friends come into the house. They're 18. I go, pull out your phone, go to my YouTube channel, and subscribe.
Oh,
I go and watch some of the stuff because you need to know about this stuff.
Because you're going
to
be taking care of me someday.
Exactly.
Absolutely.
Or their parents, or their grandparents, or their spouse.
That's why our friends are all younger than us.
But no, it's really, I always, for my grandson's friends, I tell them to watch my blooper video first.
Oh, really?
So then
really?
They're like, okay.
You have a blooper video?
Yeah.
I don't think I've seen this.
I'll send it to you.
Okay, great.
It's kind of, because, you know, when I do my Tuesday tips in the beginning when I used to do them, I used to do it myself. So I'm in the house, and I'm trying to set up the camera.
Right.
And I'm trying to do all, and it's so stressful. It was, like, so stressful. It would take me, like, an hour to do a three-minute tip. So now I have a wonderful woman, Diane Cutts, that has a great company, and she comes in, so we do a bunch.
Oh, cool.
And then she puts my little logo thing in there, nice. You know, and whatever. But a while ago we were doing, you know, some days I'm really on. And I thought I was really on until the blooper at the end of the year. She says, I have to show you these.
But the blooper reel.
Yeah. Because you try to do like 10 at a time, let's say.
Right.
Now I've been bringing some guests in to do whatever. So one day I'm like, oh, like blah, blah, blah. I can't even speak anymore. I said, how many did we do so far? She goes, how many shirts do you have on the bed? Because I changed my shirt. Because I don't want my listeners to think I only have one shirt. That's why you need a uniform. It's kind of like posing that Tuesday tip on Wednesday. Who cares?
All right. Today's, this one's going to be the red shirt, and that one's going to be the black shirt, and that one's going to be the blue shirt.
I try to do, like, if I know it's going to be around Valentine's, I try to wear a red shirt.
See, I would get a uniform. I really would. I'd have a...
No, if it was you, you'd be having me wear something different every show. She would be... You see how dolled up she is? Even here on the show, if it's, like, Valentine's, she has hearts coming out of my head. If it's, you know, what's next? St. Patrick's.
Watch out.
All right, indeed. I'm going to take that tip. I'm going to start doing some TikTok videos for people about about elder law.
That's perfect.
And I think I do a couple of them at a time because that kind of makes sense.
Yeah.
But now I know I got to change my shirt.
All right, excellent.
Or I take my earrings or my glasses.
Good tip.
It seems like we have a caller on the line.
Heidi.
Hi, welcome, Heidi.
Hello, how are you? This is a very interesting show. You're having a good time there.
We're trying to.
I have a question for Scott.
Yes, ma'am.
What can we do when a member of our family has a physically debilitating disease and also has a spouse who is inexperienced and sometimes reluctant to be a caregiver?
Yep, classic.
And by reluctant, I mean unwilling to accept or even hear from any of us. And we are, some of us, quite experienced in what is needed, you know, to be a caregiver. We have valuable suggestions that would help both of them. We can put them in touch with people, but they block us at every turn in the road. So my question to you, is there any path open to us to get around this stone wall? And we do understand that we have no legal authority.
Right. It's one of the, again, this is something I see more often than you might think. It's very, very common, especially when we have a second marriage sometimes. If a person's older, the family are out there, and the family see one path towards caregiving, and then the person, the spouse, for example, is on a different path. And it can sometimes be very hard to harmonize those things. So I hear your frustration 100%. You know, my suggestions on that is that, you know, there are some legal ways to go, but those are kind of the nuclear option. Going through a guardianship, for example, to try to put yourself in a position to make decisions for that person. A lot of emotional and psychological issues associated with that as well, and cost. But there is that option, I guess. I would not lead with that. We were talking about earlier about having the conversation. I think, you know, my thoughts are is that you got to approach this kind of from the side. And not straight on and just try to say, my way, my way, my way, but hey, how can we work together and how can we, you know, make this better for everybody and what can we do to help you do what you're doing and try to make it more of a team approach, at least in your head. And sometimes it's going to be frustrating, but just keep trying, you know, just keep on trying.
But what if they're totally resistant?
Yeah, and at some point in time, I've seen this, you're locked out, and you can't get into that.
It's just, like, too bad for you.
Yeah, unless you're going to go with the nuclear option, which is, you know, filing a guardianship, which is a lot. But if it's that bad of a situation and we're having fundamental caregiving problems where that person is at risk, at danger, they're in danger because of the lack of care being provided, then you have to take that option and say, okay, I've got to come in and take control over this.
So. Tough.
Yeah, I wouldn't lead with that, but that is what I would do. I mean, if you had to, that's where I would take you. So,
okay. Does that answer your question, Heidi?
It answers my question. It's not what I wanted to hear.
I know. I'm sorry. Yeah. I don't.
I think we are facing that wall, and there's no way over.
Correct. And I hear that. I hear the frustration. But I would say, don't give up. All right. And instead of hitting it straight on ahead and straight on trying to, slamming it into the person's face, so to speak, you kind of come from the side and say it's more of a we thing. How can we help? What can we do? And then
we've been trying that. But yeah. That's a very obstinate person we're dealing with.
No, again,
but,
I hear you.
We won't give up. We shouldn't do that.
No, I don't give up. But I do understand your frustration. So
Thank you.
Thanks for calling in today. I hope that answered your questions.
Well, it helped.
Yeah, I know.
it's hard, but thank you.
You're welcome. Now it's time to hear from our wonderful partners, so don't go away. We'll be right back on Connecting Caregivers Radio.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Are you looking for compassionate and dependable home care for you or a loved one? Assisting Hands Home Care, serving Pinellas and Pasco counties, can help.
The day came that taking care of my mother was no longer the best thing for me or for her. Between kids and a job, I couldn't give her the attention she needed and deserved, and I was overwhelmed. So I reached out to Assisting Hands Home Care. Now I can see what an important decision that was, and I feel confident that my mother has compassionate and dependable caregivers who help her to stay happy, healthy, and home. Today, I'm able to visit with my mother and enjoy our time together, which is exactly what we both needed.
Assisting Hands Home Care. Call today for your free in-home consultation. In Pinellas, call 727-748-4211 or visit assistinghands.com. When you can't do it all, give Assisting Hands a call.
Arden Courts is not just a place to live. It's a place to call home. Residential living combined with quality caregiving. This is the philosophy behind Arden Courts. Communities created exclusively for individuals with Alzheimer's disease and related dementia who would benefit from a safe and structured environment. For additional information about any of the unique services Arden Courts provides, call 888-478-2410 to locate a community nearest you. Inquire about our educational seminars, resource library, or support groups, or simply feel free to ask questions you may have about Alzheimer's and related dementias. At Arden Courts, we know, we understand, and we can help because memory care is all we do. Remember, call 888-478-2410 for additional information about any of the unique services Arden Courts provides.
Sean W. Scott has been practicing elder law and qualifying clients for Medicaid for over 30 years. While his practice is in all areas of estate planning, such as durable power of attorney, healthcare surrogates, and wills, he also prides himself on having a 100% accuracy rate on getting clients approved for Medicaid. Why Medicaid, you may ask? Do you want to pay up to $16,000 a month for a nursing home should the time come? Obviously, no one wants to have to endure this cost. So, even though you may have planned well for retirement, the reality is, things happen. Planning ahead is never too soon. You need to make sure your income and assets are protected so that you can take care of you and your loved ones. Florida law is very specific on how and what is protected and how to protect it. Give Sean a call. He can help. 727-539-0181. That's 727-539-0181.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
And you could give Sean a call right now. He's here with us today.
I'm right here right now.
Yeah, at 727-441-3000. But I believe we have a call right now. Yep, here we go.
Actually, you got a call with Sherry.
Yes, hi, Sherry.
Hi, Linda. Hi, Lynn. Hi, Sean.
Hey, Sherry.
How are you today?
It's good. I wish I could be there with you guys.
Yes.
A room full of my friends.
Yes. I was just talking to Sean before the show, and I was like, Sherry's like, yeah. I go, do you know Hearts and Hope? He's like, no, I don't. I go, wait, you will.
Excellent. Can't wait to hear more about it.
Yeah. So, Sherry, first, before we talk about Hearts and Hope for a minute, because you do so many other fabulous things, can you give us a quick commercial for PACE first?
Oh, absolutely. I was going to ask if I could do that.
Oh, please.
So, PACE is a national program. Each state has different PACE programs that operate within it. And because we're in Florida and Pinellas County, that's what we service at Suncoast PACE. And what we are is we are a managed care program that takes seniors 55 and older. They don't have to have any insurance at all, but they need to meet Medicaid guidelines. And if they meet a level of care, meaning they need some help with their daily activities or they have Alzheimer's or dementia, then they can enroll into our program, and we provide 100% of their health care.
Yeah.
They won't need to hold any other insurance, and we give them two nurses, a social worker. We give them a medical clinic, transportation to medical visits. Yeah. We have an adult day center that we're open Monday through Friday, and then we have our own pharmacy as well. So the best way to look us up is to go online, and it is suncoastpace.org.
Okay, and I'll put that information in the show. And I have to tell you, I can remember a couple of years ago, one of my caregivers was at her wit's end. And then she got into the PACE program. She got her dad into the PACE program. And she was like, Linda, it saved my life and my dad's. And I think it extended my dad's life, too, because he was such in such a bad place. So
I'm a big fan of PACE. I've been, since its inception in Pinellas County, it's just absolutely a fabulous program. But isn't it, what does PACE stand for? Isn't it an acronym? That's a softball question, by the way.
Thank you. Thank you, Sean.
You're welcome, Sherry.
It stands for Program All-Inclusive Care for the Elderly.
Yeah, and that really sums it up, because it is all-inclusive. The model, as I understand, is they try to bring everything into one place. So you have your pharmacy in one place, the nurse in one place, the doctor in one place, the daycare kind of in one place. So it's kind of this big package. Instead of having to go to all these different specialists and all of these different things, it really simplifies things greatly. And can provide care throughout the entire continuum from in a home setting.
Exactly.
Correct me if I'm wrong, Sherry, in an assisted living setting and even in a long-term care setting in a nursing home, right?
Yes. As long as they qualify in the beginning, we can take them for the rest of their life should they choose.
Wow.
It's a fabulous program.
If they need hospice at any point, we hire our own hospice to come in and provide them care. We navigate everything for you. It's really an incredible program. We're very lucky to have it. We do personal care and homemaking, meals, all kinds of things in our program. And it's designed to save the state a lot of money every year because we cover all of their health care. They have no co-payments, no premium payments. It costs them nothing. And we service a demographic that either has low income or they have a lot of income, and they can have that sheltered by going to your other guest over there, Sean Scott.
Oh, my God. Mutual admiration.
So that's my softball back. I love that.
we have worked together for years, Sean and I have. So,
well, that's why I always say, you know, I am so blessed by the community that we're in, where we have a bunch of professionals that want to work together and want to do the right thing. And that really means a lot to me, because I go into other states and it's not like here.
So, Sherry, that's a hypothetical situation. You know, let's say my dad is 90 years old, right? And he's starting to experience some problems, and he has his regular treating doctor that he has out there. But, you know, it's just not making me feel the right way. And I can see the writing on the wall that this is going to be much more complicated coming in to take care of him. And I just heard you tell me about PACE, and I'm like, oh, wow, that sounds like it might be a good option. So they go. So what would I do in this situation in order to get my dad on PACE? I mean, walk me through the steps so that, you know, for the people that are listening.
Sure. So first thing would be for you to go to that website or do a search for Suncoast PACE. There's a number that you would call. Once you call in a referral to us, you'll get me on the phone.
Yay.
I'll explain the program.
Hey, it's Sherry Gruden here.
Exactly.
I love it.
Exactly. If I can figure out how to clone myself, that would be much better.
Yeah.
But anyway, we have a conversation. If this sounds like it's a good fit for both of us, then we step forward in moving them onto our program. It takes about 6 weeks to get on.
Okay, good.
And
good.
We do not have a waiting list. Wow. Let me rephrase that. We don't have a waiting list.
That's crazy.
So I don't understand what you just said there. Can you tell me that again?
We don't have a waiting list.
Well, then that's a big deal, actually.
Yes.
It's a huge deal.
It's huge.
Yes.
So if you were grandma and calling in to get some help because you're starting to need it at home, you would call the Area Agency on Aging.
Right.
They have a list of over 5,000 people on a waiting list.
Yep. Yep.
So the chances of you getting called off that are
before you die.
Very slim.
Well, I work with that every day in my office using that nursing home diversion program and through AAA Area Agency on Aging. And that's a daunting thing I have to tell my clients is that, hey, listen, this program's always full. And we're going to have to get you on this waiting list. Now, it's weighted by, you know, your how much need you have.
Right.
So it's the sickest person that gets picked off of that. But it could be
that's
weeks,
correct.
Months, and maybe even years, and maybe never years. That you get picked off this list. So when she says there's no waiting list for PACE, it's huge.
Yeah.
So
it's huge, especially in Pinellas County where everyone moves because it
they said there's more, somebody told me there's more seniors per square inch in Pinellas County than anywhere else in the United States.
Oh my God.
And
or
I believe
the world,
it.
Probably.
Guess I picked the right place to be an elder law
That's
attorney.
What I'm thinking. I'm not out of business.
You certainly did.
All right, Sherry. Thanks for telling us all about that. Now let's talk about Hearts and Hope.
All right, and before, I know this is your show, Linda, but hang on, before I go there, I have some breaking news.
Yes. Breaking news.
Yes, the legislation just finished, and we have asked for more openings for our PACE program in Pinellas for 6 years, and we have never gotten an increase.
Wow.
We've got 50 new slots available in Pinellas County.
Okay, excellent. Fabulous.
And we've got 150 slots in the new Hillsboro location that we're about to open. And then we've got 150 slots in Manatee County.
Wowie zowie.
400 more people.
Wow, that's great. Fabulous.
Fabulous.
I got goosebumps.
Yes. So that was my news. That came in yesterday.
Yes, that's
wonderful.
Good news.
Good job.
Thank you.
So tell us all about Hearts and Hope.
So, here comes Hearts and Hope.
Okay.
In my sleep, I work. I work on a committee that is under Better Living for Seniors, and it's also through the Area Agency on Aging. My task as the chairman of the fundraising committee is to create something that will generate fundraising monies so that we can put them back into the community. So the Better Living for Seniors is a group of professionals that work, usually most of us, full-time jobs, and then we all figure out how to help seniors in our community to navigate life. So 3.5 years ago, I was tasked with doing that, and I came up with an event called Hearts and Hope, and it's us giving of our hearts to give others hope.
Mm-hmm.
It is a musical event. We have everything from classic rock and roll to acoustics, to guitarists, to young singers. We have everything. And this year, we are able to go to a live event and also have it streamed
on
YouTube for people that cannot go to the event.
Because we had it live, and then we had it streamed, and now we get to have it live and streamed.
Right. And so let me tell you what we had before I tell you what's coming up.
Okay.
What we had on our first event was an in-person event. We had about 400 people, and we had sponsors that sponsored tables and were able to talk to to a different set of community when they came to our event.
Yeah.
On that one-day event, we raised $11,000.
Nice. Wow. Very nice.
Yeah, I thought so. I thought it was...
You did a great job, Sherry.
Shoot. So our second event, we were planning on doing another live event, but COVID came in.
And damn COVID.
We had to stop that. I know. So a friend of mine and yours, Becky Moultrie,
yes,
came to me and she said, look, you got to do something. And I said, I don't know what to do. I can organize something in person, but I have no idea
how to do something.
Well, we got a group of people together that figured it out. And on that one-day event, we raised $14,000.
Yeah.
Rocking. Let me tell you what we did with that money. This is the part
that really is people need to listen to.
Yes. So when we raised that money, that $14,000 during the pandemic, we were able to give that to the Area Agency on Aging, who worked some contracts with restaurants, four of them, and they were tasked with creating and delivering food to seniors who were in dire need of food because they couldn't go to the store. This was at the height of the pandemic.
Wow.
Right.
Wow.
Seniors that were at risk couldn't go out. So we kept four restaurants open and the staff working, and our seniors were given this food. They were given a meal a day, and between us and the Area Agency on Aging, I think over a million meals were served.
Yes.
Holy camoli.
Yeah.
Wow.
And from a restaurant,
wow.
Nice.
Wow.
It's not like,
wow,
you know, a frozen
huge
dinner.
That's huge. Wow.
Correct. And they were delivered. So the seniors didn't have to go anywhere, and they were really grateful because they got an excellent meal. Usually most of them would cut it in half and have, you know,
two,
something for the,
yep,
afternoon and something for the evening.
And at that point, too, just that person delivering that meal and saying hello to somebody is part of the whole package.
Yep.
Seriously. So what we decided to do this year with the funds that we're going to raise, see, all proceeds go back to the community to provide necessities for seniors and persons with disabilities.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to use that through the Area Agency on Aging again, except this is going to be an emergency fund. For example, if your next-door neighbor's air conditioner goes out and it's the summer and it's 110 degrees in their home, that's not healthy.
No.
You're going to end up in a nursing home.
Right.
Or worse.
Right.
So our money can go to an emergency fund through the Area Agency on Aging to provide them an air conditioner.
Yeah, or a home repair or just something that they need to be saved.
Yes, or victims, senior victims of crimes, people that are robbed,
yeah,
that are beaten, and now they don't have the money that they had before they were robbed. Just a lot of things go back into the community to provide necessities.
Yeah, this is definitely hands-on.
That's what our design is, yes.
Excellent. All right, so tell us when the event is.
Good picture. Yes, the event is Sunday, March 27th at Bayboro Brewing in St. Petersburg from 12 to 5 in the afternoon on a Sunday. This Bayboro Brewing is a veteran-owned and family-operated,
very cool, yeah,
brewery. There is an indoor, very large, 4,000-square-foot room with a stage for an inside concert. And then they also have a beer garden, which would probably hold 150, 200 people outdoors, shaded. They have pergolas, seating.
It's going to be fabulous.
Of acoustics acts outside.
All right, and how much are the tickets, and what do you get for your ticket?
The tickets are $35.
But I think everybody should donate $100 to tell you the truth. And they can do that, right?
Yes, and I'm going to tell you how to do that.
Okay, so
good.
With that ticket, you get admission, you get an upscale lunch that is going to be served. It's not buffet. You're going to have a plate of fantastic food.
Believe me, I was a taste tester. It was awesome.
You're right.
Really?
Yes. Right. I'm on the committee.
Okay, it's cool. Very cool.
Yes, Linda's on our committee. So you also get two drink tickets. They have their own beer in different types. They have wine, soda, and waters. So you'll get two tickets and lunch and admission to this event.
A bargain.
Yes, for $35.
Yes.
Oh, that's great.
Seriously,
that's great.
It's going to be spectacular. We have the finest artists in the Bay Area, the most popular, everything from rock and roll to acoustic.
Okay. Well, Stormbringer's going to be there.
Frank Castle's going to be there.
Stormbringer, right.
With Brother Brownlow.
Is going to be there, yes. Brother Brownlow is going to be there.
Well, now Sean Scott's going to be there, too.
Oh, no, I will definitely be there, for sure. I mean, it's right downtown St. Pete, basically.
Yes.
It's just off of Central on 5th, about 2300 block or so. It's relatively easy to get to. And I've been there before. Yes. I mean, $35 to go and hear a bunch of great bands, drink some good beer, have some food, and throw back that into the community for help. That's just a win-win all the way around. This is going to be great.
Yeah.
Thank you.
You got to break.
We've also got Soul Circus performing. They're a country rock band. We've got Push Button Rocket. We've got the Hazies. We have a new group joining us now, Kind Villain. So they're for the younger set.
Okay.
We've got Janelle Sadler. And we have the former partner of Jimmy Buffett.
Yeah.
In the
beginning days of Jimmy Buffett, there was Jimmy Buffett and Roger Bartlett. Roger Bartlett is joining us at the event outside for the acoustic area.
Neat.
Okay. Yay.
Yeah.
All right, Shari, we need to wrap it up. What's the last thing you need to tell our listeners here?
Okay, we also have Deborah Miller and Greg Dietrich. How to get tickets or to sponsor us, go to blspinellas.org.
That's blspinellas.org, and all the information I'll put in the description of the show.
Yeah.
Absolutely fantastic. And Sean, let me know. Reach out to me if you want to do anything. We are accepting sponsorships. Anything from financial sponsorships.
I love it. Just put me on the spot right here, right now, on the air. Okay. So the answer is yes. How about that? The answer is yes. Okay.
There you go, Sherry.
That was easy.
I know your phone number.
All right. Thanks so much, Sherry. I'll talk to you soon.
Okay, thanks, everybody.
Bye.
All right, we need to hear from our wonderful partners, so don't go away. We'll be right back on Connecting Caregivers Radio.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Choosing the right chiropractor is an important choice to make. Located in Seminole, the Alexander Spine Center team is trained on the latest chiropractic treatments and technologies. At Alexander Spine Center, you'll find chiropractic and physical therapy care that is safe, effective, and a natural approach to pain and other health-related issues. Chiropractic unlocks your body's potential and natural healing process to ensure your life is a healthy life. We treat clients from the womb to the tomb. Call 727-397-3000 for a free consultation today or visit our website at www.alexanderspinecenter.com.
They take good care of me twice a week. And did you know they got the Reader's Choice Award for 2019 for the best chiropractic in Pinellas County? So check them out.
Arden Courts is not just a place to live. It's a place to call home. Residential living combined with quality caregiving. This is the philosophy behind Arden Courts. Communities created exclusively for individuals with Alzheimer's disease and related dementia who would benefit from a safe and structured environment. For additional information about any of the unique services Arden Courts provides, call 888-478-2410 to locate a community nearest you. Inquire about our educational seminars, resource library, or support groups, or simply feel free to ask questions you may have about Alzheimer's and related dementias. At Arden Courts, we know, we understand, and we can help because memory care is all we do. Remember, Call 888-478-2410 for additional information about any of the unique services Arden Courts provides.
Guaranteed to make you laugh through your tears, Linda Burhan's book, Good Night and God Bless, is filled with humor and heartfelt inspiration to aid anyone facing the challenge of caring for a loved one at the end of life. Her story offers hope for human strength and understanding of weaknesses during a difficult time. Life doesn't normally prepare us to become a loved one's caregiver. When it happens, it's usually sudden. A diagnosis of an illness, age-related frailty, dementia, and life suddenly is anything but normal. And because we don't even know what we don't know, where do we turn to for help or guidance? In Connecting Caregivers, answers to the questions you didn't know you needed to ask, Linda offers information, education, and inspiration from her own experience and from experts whose advice, practical tools, and personal stories will empower and guide you. Make sure to add these inspiring books to your collection today, available on Amazon.com.
Introducing the life-changing Footbar Walker.
I'm Peggy from Danville, Kentucky, and I'm 91 years old. The Footbar Walker revolutionized my care of George. It absolutely benefits the patient and the caregiver both, and that's the beauty of it. It's so easy to use. It folds up just like a dream. I got it in and out of the car without any effort at all. The saving that I made from having to put him in a nursing home came to about $192,000.
Does someone you love use a walker? Do they struggle to get up from a seated position? Are you a caregiver dealing with physical pain and stress as you help your patient? The Footbar Walker was designed to assist not only the patient, but also the caregiver. Patients have more control standing up, and no lifting from the caregiver is required. See how it works at thefootbarwalker.com. That's thefootbarwalker.com. Peggy, would you recommend the Footbar Walker?
Do I ever? I would not be in the health that I'm in today at this age had it not been for the Footbar Walker.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Love that Footbar Walker. Love Peggy. They're going to be part of the conference. One last thing I want to say. I want to let you know about Diapers for Dignity. So if you have some issues with getting adult continence issues, you can call the Disability Achievement Center at 727-539-7550. They also can help you with walkers and other things that you may need. So if you have any questions about anything, you know, you can email me, you can call me. If I don't have the answer, I know somebody that does have the answer.
What do they email you?
LindaBurhans@AOL.com, or just go to LindaBurhans.com. Thanks so much for being with us, Sean, today.
Always a fun time. Always a good time.
It's always a fun time. Tune in next week for more special guests. I so appreciate your time that you're here with us today. Remember, God loves you all the time, and have a delicious day.
Woo!
It's a cut.
You have to shut it off. Yeah.
When you're down and troubled and you need a helping hand and nothing, oh, nothing's going. Close your eyes and think of me, and soon I will be there to brighten up even your darkest night. You just call.